This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 138, and this week we're going to discuss upcoming releases, including Brick Mansions and The Other Woman, spoiler-free reviews of Draft Day, where we have our whole winners going to join us and lead that review, as well as Oculus, our From the Outside In topic this week, actors that belong in a specific genre. I think that'll be a lot more interesting than it sounds. Latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. With me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
I love how you sell that topic. It's more interesting than it sounds.
Hey, it's so exciting, but it doesn't sound well.
It's not as boring as it sounds like it might be.
It's not boring at all. Our listeners loved it. There's like tons
of... But you're going to wait 2 hours to find that out.
Shut up. Brian Williams, that's the redneck you just heard.
Woo!
And Justin McCumber, author.
What's the name of our hoe winner?
That is Don Munoz.
Yeah. Munoz.
Munoz.
Thank you.
I just want to point out that the only one of us that's married to somebody Spanish is the guy that can't say the Spanish name correctly.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that came out. Okay, good.
It happens. It happens. Justin, real quick, April 22nd. So when you listen to this, you can already pre-order it. But by the time it's over, you should be able to order your copy of Stillwater, yes?
I don't know when it will be available for pre-order, but it will be out and available at all of your fine online retailers on the 22nd, yes.
Okay, so look for Stillwater, not affiliated with that awesome Almost Famous movie.
I'm sensing a theme with this book, Sarah.
Yeah. Justin's going to have to explain that in every interview
he
does.
Just because a movie uses some words don't mean it owns him.
You mean the title?
Hey, Stillwater was the band name that won the title of the fucking movie.
I know, but I also
Hey, don't make him. He's going to change the title before the show's over. Watch.
Oh, you're about to make me mad.
All right, real quick, Lionsgate. I got to point this out. Lionsgate is splitting the last Divergent movie. What's the third one called? The third book called, Justin?
The third book is called Allegiant.
Well, they are splitting Allegiant into two movies. Why? Do they need to do that?
Cha-ching.
Yep. Yep. That's all it is. Cha-ching.
Reason for that shitty book to make more than one shitty movie.
Is it getting too old for you guys? Are you getting tired of this?
Yeah. I was before. We don't even have the Hobbit one yet. I'm sorry, Justin.
We didn't need three Hobbit movies. I'm sorry. They might be fantastically beautiful, but they do not need to be three movies.
Well, yeah. Mm.
But it's a bad trend that seems to be following these YA book to movie adaptations. They did it with Twilight, and Twilight didn't need it. They're doing it with The Hunger Games, and I don't even really think Mockingjay needs to be two movies. I think it worked better as one, and now you're getting this movie doing the same thing. It's like, first off, why is it the last book that gets split? What is it? Why is it so much better than the books that preceded it? And two, if you can tell those books in a 2 hour span of time, why can't that book be done? It's ridiculous. It's a cash grab, and it is it's old now.
Well, you know why they do it is they wait because they got to see the first movie come out, make sure it does well, and by then they're already in pre-production on the second movie. That's why the last book always gets two splits.
That makes sense, but still, fuck it.
We've got a couple whole birthdays this week. Scott and Brian both have birthdays this week, so happy birthday both of you.
What up, man?
Yay, happy birthday. Yay.
In recognition, I'm wearing my birthday suit right now.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Man, yeah. Thank God for this pop filter.
God, this leather seat is so sticky. Good Lord.
And we've got another podcast we're launching in time for 24 Live Another Day, the event series. We're actually going to do a dedicated podcast called 24 Live Another Podcast. Huh? Catchy, right? And Justin McCumber, myself, and Zach Parkerson, who guested on Movie Combat a few weeks ago, he's going to be in it too. So all diehard 24 fans. Brian said he might guest with us if we need a guest. So there's a possibility Brian could pop in if he gets free. We know he's Mr. Busy.
Hey, man, I got lots of irons in the fire. Just say.
I understand. And you're naked in most of them.
And I'm naked.
I love how Brian says far.
Far?
Far.
Just like it's going to the theater. One thing that's not on your format, they are rebooting Time Cop, and I didn't put it on the format because I forgot about it, because I forgot about the movie itself for a long time. But it's the old Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Yeah. And anybody get worried that now we're rebooting Van Damme movies?
Yeah.
What did I tell you,
a couple of years ago? The big trend was rebooting 80s movies, and now it's like 90s movies, and we're even into the 2000s movies. We're rebooting them at such a rapid pace that we're going to be rebooting Pitch Perfect here shortly.
Oh, you know it would be awesome?
Before the second movie even comes out.
I could see
if
it
they
happen.
Made a Time Cop 2 with the current Van Damme, spliced it in with footage from the previous Time Cops, early Van Damme. So you've got old one, you got young one, you mix them all together. I bet that'd be awesome.
And you got shit.
Yeah, you got ass splits everywhere. Like everywhere. Ooh, old
that's
ass splits.
What Brian's doing right now.
Old ass splits and new ass splits.
It's a good thing we're not on Google Party, whatever it is.
Hangouts?
Hangouts. Because I would be hanging out, trust me.
Whoa. Okay, did you hear that Michael Bay, I know we've talked about the Transformers a couple times, but did you know that his new Transformers, he's saying, is part of a new trilogy? Do we need three more of these freaking movies, Brian?
Gosh, let me see. Yes, we do.
That's your, you got a reason for it, or just because you like pretty special effects?
Yes, I like the pretty pictures. I love the Transformers. I still think there's room to expand this cinematic universe. And, of course, Michael Bay he's just a man as far as it comes to the Transformers franchise. And I know we were initially told that, well, he's not doing any more. And then it was, well, he'll do one more. And now it's, well, I'm going to do a trilogy. So I understand the hesitation on this and everything, but I still think it's every movie has, monetarily speaking, has made money and lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no trend as far as it like losing steam, so to speak. Now we'll see how Marky Mark does versus Mr. Holes, but
Mr. Holes, that's his name. I like it.
This looks, I don't know, it's darker is not the actual word I'm looking for, but maybe edgier, this beginning of the trilogy. So hopefully it's not as campy with the characters like John Turturro's character and even a little bit of Shia's character stuff. So I hope that the silliness is toned down slightly, but I think this is very promising and they're probably getting getting focus groups and all that stuff and positive remarks and figure it's good enough to roll with a couple more. So I'm good with it. Keep coming. Bring them on.
Fair enough. And we were just talking about rebooting. I guess I probably would have been a better segue if I would have worked this out. But Friday the 13th is getting a reboot. Of the reboot that just happened in 2009, it's been 3 freaking years, Justin.
Well, apparently that reboot from 2009 didn't merit a sequel. So I don't even know if they're rebooting that reboot. I think they're rebooting the original movie, skipping that reboot. So I don't – it's getting confusing.
This is where the time cap should come in.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. They've hired David Bruckner, who wrote and directed the Amateur Night segment of VHS, to come in and do this new version of Friday the 13th. They haven't said really anything yet about what it's going to be about. Of course, I mean, we know what it's going to be about, but any specifics, how it's going to be shot, what kind of format they're going to do it. I mean, in this article, they even intimate that it's possible that it may be a found footage type movie. And let me just say right now, not that I'm a big Friday the 13th fan, mm-hmm. but if they do a reboot as found footage, I almost refuse to watch it.
Really?
Well, Friday the 13th is just a horror tradition. And I don't see any reason why they've got to come in with the hip new horror style of found footage and use that to somehow fix what I really don't think was all that broken. In fact, I thought the Friday the 13th reboot that they did, I thought it was fairly decent.
I thought it was pretty good, actually. I liked it a lot. And I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan.
Right. So why they're not wanting to do a sequel as opposed to rebooting the reboot is totally beyond me. I don't get it. And it's like Hollywood now is just run by lunatics, as if they weren't before, but now it's even more apparent.
Well, you guys hear me defend this idea all the time normally, the reboots about, well, we got a new generation of people that may not have lived with that and that kind of thing. Not this time. four or five years? Was it 2009?
2009, so I guess it was 5 years
ago. 5 years ago? I mean, there's no way that anybody...
That's not a new generation.
Exactly. It's just not necessary. I do like the idea that the guy that did VHS is doing something bigger with a bigger budget, because I think that
That was the best story in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that movie had a lot of potential, totally a lot of potential. It just didn't quite work. I worry that this isn't the right next step for him. I want to see him do something in horror, but not necessarily
something original. I could see that. I love the franchise, and this is going to be the 13th technically Friday the 13th or Jason movie. I don't even know. It's the 13th Friday the 13th movie, because technically he wasn't in the first movie, but he wasn't. It was his mom. Shh, spoiler alert, wasn't him. So I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about it. I want another Friday the 13th movie, but I don't want found footage. I'm with Justin 100%. It is not something that lends itself well. Remember when Halloween tried to do that, where they kind of had a similar kind of style with Michael Myers? I don't know, Resurrection, I think it was.
H2O.
Busta Rhymes. No, it was Resurrection.
Oh, yeah, they had
Busta Rhymes
the TV
in.
Show.
Yeah. And they tried to include elements of that, because that was when the trend with after Blair Witch. It doesn't work with an established property like that. Mm-hmm. You can't just switch the genre or the style. I don't like it.
Well, Paramount has already picked out the release date for it, even though they haven't even started shooting the damn thing. But it's going to be Friday, March 13th, 2015. So Friday the 13th.
Hey. Oh, that's so original.
Less than a year out.
Yep.
Granted, I'm sure these films aren't like Star Wars or Superman, where it's tons of post-production, but still, that's pretty time crunch.
No,
but
they literally find people on the corner and they just cast them and say, hold this squid.
Hold this machete.
Yeah.
Machete. For the next two, I know for the next month and a half, you planned on waiting tables, but you will look good running from a guy with a machete.
Hey, it worked for that Nick Cage movie, didn't it?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to be a star? Being a Friday the 13th movie. Oh, it's my big break. Yeah, that's never happened. Crispin Glover, maybe, with his little dance. Kevin Bacon. But to be fair, Kevin Bacon's been in every movie ever made. So,
or close to someone who has.
There's a game.
Five or six.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever been in a sci-fi movie.
Sure he has. Apollo 13.
No, he hadn't.
Apollo 13.
Well, that's not science fiction.
What?
That really happened.
Oh, yeah, I guess that did really happen.
That's science fact, bitch.
Yeah, Hollow Man. There you go. Scott pulled one out.
Scott
knew before you did. Sleep at night. Try it. Try.
Hey, wasn't he in what was the dead ones where they were killing each other with Kiefer Sutherland and Julia Roberts?
Flatliners.
Wasn't he in that?
No. Was he?
No.
That was horror anyway. So shut the fuck up.
I don't know. There's some science in there, man. That's science fiction.
Was he in Tremors?
He was. There you go.
X-Men First Class.
Oh. All right. Yeah, obviously I'm wrong. This is the first time. I know it's shocking.
Well, I mean, there was also Stir of Echoes, which is kind of horror.
That's fucking horror. That's not sci-fi. So let's move on.
Well, honestly, Tremors had it, but I wasn't going to take that bait. But Scott jumped in there, so... Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are reuniting for Border Guards. Scott, are you glad to see these two come? And that's basically a bunch of guys that get lost in Mexico that are border guards.
It's a little more complex than that. It's these two guys that are border guards that are not very good at it, and apparently they get lost in Mexico without their IDs, and they're trying to sneak back into the States. And it's John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, who were together in Step Brothers and Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. I kind of got mixed feelings about this. I really liked Step Brothers. As dumb as that movie is, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I could not stand Talladega Nights.
What?
Really?
I did not. Shake and bake.
I'll be on you like a spider.
You're like a spider monkey.
Is it because of the prayers?
The part that cracked me up the most in that was, this is my son's Walker and Texas Ranger. That was funny, but it just it got too much for me. I think the two of them are hilarious together as long as they don't go too over the top. And that's coming from a guy that said he really likes Step Brothers, so I get it. But from a success standpoint,
I'm really surprised. How do you like that one of those and not the other one? Well, no, wait. I guess that makes sense because I don't like Step Brothers. Never mind. It's all my own problem.
I do hope Danny McBride shows up just to fight you.
Shut your whore mouth. Well, I'm sure he will because he's got nothing. I mean, and you know who he's going to play? Danny McBride. Because that's all he can do. That's it.
It's funny as fuck.
It's not.
I mean, I think it was funny the first few years, but.
I think it'll work, though, as far as sales. It's going to do, especially with a topic like that, it's kind of controversial.
Well, and Adam McKay, who's directed a lot of Will Ferrell's big hits, mm-hmm. he's supposedly going to be behind it. And
Will Ferrell has the ability to get away with murder as an actor.
Yes, like, he insults so many minorities and every other.
Black. Say what?
Black. Black. How many actors could never get away with that?
I know.
I mean, there are so many that could just never pull it off, and he just goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it, man. What about you guys? Do you want to see this?
Yes.
No hesitation.
I like Talladega Nights, and I like Step Brothers, so this is right in my wheelhouse.
Brian?
Not at all.
Really?
I mean, maybe when I catch it on cable or something like that, but I've got no interest in this, really. They're almost at the point of being too old to play these silly, goofy guys, both of them.
Almost.
And I'm trying to be nice here. And even seeing John C. Reilly in the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, when I see him, I've watched that trailer 20 times because that use of that Blue Suede song, I'm Hooked on a Feeling, is awesome in that trailer. But when I see him, I still just roll my eyes. And this is a guy that I used to love because he was always like that guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You never knew his name, but that guy is in that movie, so you know it's going to be good. And he's no longer that guy to me. He's just not.
I got you.
He's just not funny to me too much anymore. And they're this shtick with him and Will Ferrell. It's just not, it doesn't captivate my attention anymore. So again, I would watch it on something I'm already paying for, like cable TV, or watch it on Netflix at one point. And I will laugh. I'm not saying that I don't necessarily find them funny, but I'm not going to fork out the kind of money that it takes to go to a movie to see them.
Hells no. But I will. I probably will. I let's face it. I will be forced to go because my wife is Spanish, so everything that happens to have Mexicans in it, somebody speaks the language, or it revolves about something that happens in Mexico, I have to see it.
Whether I watch that show about the housekeepers? It's like a soap opera, I think on like TBS
Lifetime
or something. Yeah, Lifetime or something.
I don't think so.
It's just all Hispanic women.
Yeah, because that's not stereotypical.
I'm not going to tell her about it.
Mexican housewife or Mexican housekeepers.
I'm not going to do that because then she'll get offended. And, you know, that's racist. We don't want to do that.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. Woo! Just for the record, Elizabeth Banks does not suck dick for crack. Or so she swears to the gangbangers, and I'm sorry that's a bad choice of words there. In the new comedy, Walk of Shame, that's the title of it, when passed over for a promotion, Megan Miles, who's played by Banks, hits the town and has one hell of a night, even hooking up with James Marsden for a little whoop-whoop. But after that, things change. Basically, she finds out she's up for the job, her dream job, so it's a mad scramble to kind of get back and grab it. So, Scott, what'd you think about this? I know you're a big Elizabeth Banks fan because you love the movies like Pitch Perfect and stuff like that. So what'd you think about this?
I do like Elizabeth Banks, but man, this trailer was entirely too long. This is the
You think so?
Yes. Oh,
totally. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've already seen the movie. I really do. I can't imagine there's going to be any more funny parts in the actual movie after what I saw in the trailer. I know the entire plot.
So after about 90 minutes, you think the rest of it after that 2.5 minute is just what?
No,
dry drama moments.
Now, in Scott's defense, the link that I clicked and watched the trailer for, including the little whatever 20-30 second advertisement, was 3.5 minutes long.
It's a long one. I'll give you that. But
I gotta agree with Scott. I felt like I saw a lot of the movie in that trailer.
And it's too bad because it looks like a really funny movie, but the trailer made me feel like I already saw it. It really did.
I agree with that. I like her in comedies, and I want to see her finally get that big break. You know what I mean? She's a funny actress, and she never seems to get the big break. Every time she has a movie, for whatever reason, it just flops. Like Zack and Mary, great movie, horrible title. I still say the title is what ruined that movie. But and it was a really funny movie. And she
was
just
great in it.
Yeah, she was great in it. And every comedy I've ever seen her in, she just lights it up. She is somebody I would love to see have a huge career. You know, she reminds me of like Katherine Heigl, only funny. You know, she's very attractive. Mm-hmm. She has charm. She has charisma. But she also has skills to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I want this to be a hit.
Aaron, is she better as a supporting actress and not as much as a lead actress?
No, I think she has the talent to be a leading actress. I think I've seen her in leading roles where she did great. The movie just didn't do great. So I firmly believe she can be, yes.
Well, I would add I'm also interested in it because this is the kind of movie that 10, 20 years ago would have been a guy leading it up.
I agree.
But
yeah.
We're entering the era where these sorts of films are headed up by women, and the fact that it doesn't probably get talked about much maybe is a good thing because we're used to it. We accept it. It's a thing that happens, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad women are getting these sorts of raunchy comedy movies that normally it would have been, you know, it would have been James Marsden who was the guy having to scramble wearing boxer shorts the whole movie and whatnot. So it's cool, and I think she's hysterical. I really do want to see this. And I hope that the funny in the trailer is only amplified by the funny left over in the movie.
Well, I personally think that she is the female comedic version of Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
I think that it sounds weird, but I'm telling you, she's that one, that go-to person who needs to fill a specific role.
Is her dress the one that says bad motherfucker on it?
In her own way, absolutely.
And I think she's funnier than Kirsten Wiig, so I'd like to see her get that kind of career going.
I agree.
Or Kristen. But
yeah, Kristen.
Whatever.
Wiig. Yeah,
Kristen, not Kirsten.
Whatever. You know what I'm fucking saying.
Whatever. No,
you yell at us for saying
a comedic genius so with a snaggletooth.
No, Mr. Thesaurus, let's explain the definition of Kristen versus Kirsten, because that's what you would do.
Or Kirsten.
You know what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Kirsten.
Walk of Shame with Elizabeth Banks comes out May 2nd. Going from a, let's just say a feel-good comedy movie to something a little bit more depressing is Gone Girl. It looks like David Fincher is back directing the film adaptation of Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl, the haunting story about a man's wife that goes missing, but as the magnifying glass of media exposure and police work exposes some of the skeletons in his closet, people cannot help but wonder if he is the one who killed his wife. Mm. It stars Ben Affleck and the beautiful Rosamund Pike.
She is perfect.
So what do you think about this one, Aaron? Is it a kind of little thriller that maybe tickles your fancy?
Yeah, it's David Fincher and Ben Affleck, and I am excited. It's what I've heard, my mother's read the book, and she loves the book. So even though from what I understand, the author of the book actually wrote the script for this but changed the ending. So the ending from the movie is different from the ending to the book, which I think is really interesting because then people that have read the book, you know, it's going to be different for them. You know, they're not going to get the same experience. I really want to see it. I think it's an interesting plot. I think Ben Affleck looks great. David Fincher's behind it. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no way I won't be in the theater when this comes out. It's just one of those movies that demands to be seen in a theater for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trailer had a great tone to it, a nice darkness to everything. And Ben Affleck looks like he definitely brought his A game. So, yeah, I'll probably be in theaters. Maybe, not sitting right next to you, but maybe a couple seats over.
In
I don't
spirit.
Want to get too close.
In spirit.
In spirit.
To me, this is how a trailer should be done, as opposed to the one we talked about before. It gives me a good basic plot and leaves me with just enough intrigue to actually really want to see it. You know what I mean? We get just a real basic idea, but I want to see all the inner workings of it. And I've pretty much decided that anything with Ben Affleck in it, I'm pretty much gonna see at this point. Even Batman. I really like seeing him.
You don't have to say that with shame. I mean, if you're on board with him as Batman, it's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody's seen him, so it's okay. Hey, to...
I'm out and I'm proud. I'm anxious to see him as Batman. Mm-hmm. Fuck all the haters.
There you go. See, be proud. It's like Bat Pride.
All right, well, let's see. Ben comes out in Gone Girl on October 3rd, 2014. And you can check out these trailers and a lot more at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can reach us at 818-81-I'm-A-Ho. That's 818-814-6246. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Like us. Leave us a message. We will mention you next week. Tweet us at @H_Outsider. We do have some pretty epic conversations going on there now and then. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can get your official I'm a Ho t-shirts at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Big screen. That's where we talk about any new releases that are out. Well, we mentioned at the beginning of the show that our Ho winner is actually going to review a movie with us. So that's very exciting. It was actually very fun. We already recorded it. So here it is. Here's Don Munoz.
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 Here's Don Munoz. Here's Don Munoz with his review of Draft Day. Enjoy. All right, we are joined by our Ho winner from a couple months ago, Don Munoz. He won our contest to be a guest on our show, so he's going to basically review a movie with us. Don, how are you, man?
I'm great. I'm here. Thank you, guys.
Are you excited? Nervous? You want to cry? Don't do it.
A lot of different series of emotions are going through right now. That's why I had to take months just to gather all my thoughts and decide what movie I wanted to review. I mean, it was almost something from the 70s, North Dallas 40, but I said, nah, let me wait for something more current. So decided to review Draft Day. Just came out this past weekend. It's about an actual NFL team, the Cleveland Browns. And about Kevin Costner, which is the GM, and it just takes place about the entire day of the draft. So pretty much in 24 hours. So Jennifer Gardner is in there, and she's the capologist. She's basically just the salary manager for the team. Dennis Leary, he's the head coach.
He's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I thought he was great. Is it Frank Langella or Frank? I keep wanting to say Angelica.
Langella with an L. Yeah.
Langella? Okay. Mm-hmm. The owner, and I just thought of this when I watched it. Kevin Costner's mom, is she the one that was the nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Oh, is it Nurse Cratchit? That's what you think it is?
Nurse Ratchet.
Ratchet. Did I say Cratchit?
Yeah, you said it. Yeah,
God bless us, everyone.
It's been a long day.
Is that her?
You guys think? Ellen Bernstein is the Ellen Bernstein. Draft Day, and that's not her.
Oh, okay.
And Louise Fletcher was Nurse Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But I can see the similarities there, where you could definitely get it get it confused a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right as far as the story, it happens one day for the actual NFL draft. And what I like about this setup is you have actual NFL teams. The NFL doesn't normally, grant permission to movie makers. I was thinking about the only one recent one that I could think of was maybe Jerry Maguire that had the Cardinals on there.
And the Cowboys and all that, yeah.
Right. And then before that, I could think of Heaven Can Wait when they had the LA Rams. And I think they actually played, they showed them in the Coliseum where the Rams used to play. But some of the other movies that were more recent and popular, they had fictitious names. And I think the reason why they did it, because the NFL just, they like to control a lot of that. So probably a lot of these directors, weren't too comfortable with that. Did hear Kevin Costner said that it was pretty much the only way he would do this movie is if he had, the NFL to do it. He felt it would just give some kind of legitimacy to the to the movie. So
absolutely, which it did. It really did.
And I like that they used a lot of the actual players and some of the stories that were reported. I like that too. What about the premise? Brian, did you like the premise of the movie?
Yeah, I really did. It was kind of refreshing to see a football movie done not necessarily revolving around the play on the field. I mean, I don't know if we've had that. Well, Jerry Maguire, I guess, but I don't consider that necessarily a football movie. That was really, you could really classify that as kind of a romance in a way.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a football movie.
It just kind of football happened to be the backdrop for that. So, but in this case, I can definitely consider this a football movie. And in this day of all the inside information that there is out there, you've got, you know, between ESPN and even Twitter and Yahoo and all these other sources where you're finding out information almost as soon as it happens, even before the people that are actually involved in that information. This movie does a really good job of showing that. Mm-hmm. And one of the little things it's really more kind of a visual thing, but one of the things I loved was how they showed conversations between people on opposite sides of the country and with a split screen and how they would move around. And it wasn't just very static where person A was on the left and person B was on the right, but they would actually cross over in almost a three-dimensional way with over the lines and stuff.
Right. They actually, some of the characters come across the line, so you get that feeling that the people were actually in the same room, even though they were.
It was a really cool style.
It was an awesome effect.
Ivan Reitman directed it, and that impressed me. Mm-hmm. That was something for something in such a very, I wouldn't say generic, but a very formulaic type film. To see him approach like some different kind of stylistic storytelling, I thought that was a really good additive story. To make something that's kind of boring mm-hmm. to most people in the world, to make it interesting.
Right. Plus the use of different technologies. You had, because mostly in movies, people are on like a handheld cell phone. Maybe once in a while you get a speakerphone, but this one had those as well as Bluetooth headsets or Bluetooth technology in a car. So you were never just like, there was never everybody having something up to their face. It was always something different going on, and that mix up of it.
Except Kevin Costner had Jennifer Garner up in his face a lot.
Well.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, who's going to argue with that?
Mm-mm, not me. No.
Well, I agree with what Brian was touching on is about they're going to have too much football. Kind of, that's one of the reasons why I didn't like
Any Given Sunday.
Right, any given Sunday. To me, I just didn't like that movie. It's just too much. It almost seemed like Daniel Snyder. If he was going to make a movie, that's what it would be.
Just Twisted Sister?
Everybody is over
the top.
That's D. Snyder. Oh, D. Snyder, sorry.
No, Daniel Snyder is the owner of the Washington Redskins.
Sorry.
Right.
You got a fight.
Sorry, Don. I'm not the only one that's like an actual sports fan around here.
Right.
No, wait a minute.
Basically, I thought it was going to be like overdone and over the top. And to be honest with you, picking this movie, I kind of didn't – I wasn't – my expectations were – pretty low because most football movies aren't that great, and I generally would not go to a movie theater to see any sports movie, maybe baseball but not football. So, and I'm a football fan, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I wasn't gonna get out and go see it. A few minutes into the movie, the storyline got me hooked, so it got me intrigued, and I was like, okay, you see a few teams laying the foundation for the rest of the day. And I'm like, okay, now I'm getting interested. Now I'm in. It wasn't like over the top like Any Given Sunday. So what do you think, Aaron? Did you like the beginning? Were you getting hooked or?
No, the one thing I liked about it is the way that it presented, you know, a very boring thing in football as interesting and exciting. Because it is not fun to watch. I've watched draft day on actual draft day, and I want to go to sleep. There's a lot of guys that get into it. I mean, they plan their whole day. But there's people that take the day off and go to New York or wherever it is. Just to watch it. Now, that seems like the most wasted time that you could have. I mean, you could play ping pong instead of doing that. But people like to do that, so whatever. But this movie, it made it interesting, made it exciting, kept it moving, and I was looking forward to what happened.
Well, I went with Don. I went in with pretty low expectations. But I liked it, like kind of what he said, is it wasn't all about football. Every single thing
Do you really see anybody play football except in highlight reels, basically?
No, everything was highlight reels.
No.
Yep.
And there was a, it was a good mix of sports and a little bit of drama. And I was worried, especially with the Jennifer Garner character, that, that part of the story, I thought that was going to overshadow the sports. And
which
I
really, it didn't.
And I didn't think it did at all. I thought it was touched on just the perfect amounts to keep you interested. And I don't want to say distract you from the football, but just to keep you interested so it wasn't just nothing but football like he was mentioning with Any Given Sunday. So I did find it a tad predictable. It's pretty much figured out what was going to happen from the get-go, but I think it had just enough of little surprises to keep it interesting and keep me engaged.
Don, what'd you think of Kevin Costner?
Well, here is
look. If you say anything bad about Kevin Costner, you're fired.
No. Okay.
All right, just saying. Just want that clear.
Kevin Costner fans, I don't think they're going to be disappointed. And as a whole, I guess I am one of his fans, like, but not one of his biggest fans. But yeah, I mean, like a lot of the movies he made, I love. So I think this is targeted towards Kevin Costner fans and college football fans. So outside of those two groups, I'm not sure who's really going to just go see this movie. And especially as it starts to, the last half hour of the movie, which I thought was really great, I don't know who's going to keep up with that, because my wife, Vanessa, she follows football, and I don't think she could follow it. I mean, she would understand it, but I'm not sure how you would know at one point it's a good deal or a bad deal. So I think the audience might be kind of small.
I actually agree with that. I think if you're not a football fan, it would be very hard to follow that part.
Mm-hmm. Part of the appeal for the movie for me is because I do watch the draft, mainly the first round, two at the tops. After that, I really don't care about the sixth round pick from Northern Illinois, you know, Western University.
Hey, I'm sure he's good. He's from Illinois.
I'm sure he is, yeah. And I'm sure he's one hell of a punter. But you know, I've got a yard to mow or a booger to pick or something. I don't know. You know, maybe my trailer blocks parked next to the Starbucks needs to be reset or replaced or something like that.
When you really get down to it, what do you like, Don? What do you rate it at? Like, if $10 was the full price of admission, what would you give it? I mean, you seem like you liked it, but you didn't seem like it was going to drive you out of the theater screaming and hollering with joy.
I would rate it an 8 out of 10. But here's the thing is, I would just wait for it to come on cable, because like you guys said on your last podcast about the summer movies, myself, I like to go to a movie theater to take me to another world, like Fast and the Furious 6. In the beginning, they're like in Mexico, some beautiful. I'm like, yes, that's where I want to be. Like, it's just magnificent. If people go to see it, I don't think they're going to be disappointed. At least those two groups that I mentioned, they won't be disappointed. And overall, yes, I am a Kevin Costner fan, so I wasn't disappointed. So I would still, as a whole, rate it as an 8.
What'd your wife give it? If she would, like, did she like it a lot, or she just say?
Well, we actually have we just had twins in the end of December, so she couldn't go. I went solo.
Oh, that's how you do it. Nice job. So you got her knocked up and go see a movie. I like it.
So this is actually my push-out gift to her. Instead of buying her diamonds, is for me to be on this podcast. So, honey, this is for you. Enjoy. You don't need diamonds.
That's right. You can get diamonds anytime.
Can we get that in an iTunes review? The Hollywood Outsider, as good as diamonds.
Better than diamonds.
Well, you know what I did like? That it did cater enough to the football fan. It's like some of these stories, and I'm not going to go too much on what they said, but let's just say Jamarcus Russell was top QB picked by the Raiders a few years ago. When he was already on the team, they gave him like a playbook that it was like blank. And it was like on a disc or something, and they just wanted to see what he would say. They basically said, you know what? Go look at this. Tell me what you think of these play, and we'll go over them, right? It was like blank. He came back. He said, oh, I'm good. Do you have any questions? You want to go? No, I'm good. Yeah, everything was fine. he didn't even look at it at all. So in this movie, what I like about it is that they use actual stories that have happened in the NFL, and they incorporate the story. I'm like, yeah, that really, not the actual one, but the same examples. They basically want to test these kids just to see, you know, if they're lying or not, where their head's at. You know, are they going to be honest? You know, they're just their character issues. So there's a few different stories on there that I liked, and it gave it a lot of legitimacy to like the draft day.
Brian, what was your score?
I agree with Don that you could wait till cable to watch it, or Blu-ray, Redbox, whatever. I'm still giving it a solid 8.0 out of 10.
If $10 were the full price of admission, I would easily pay $7.50.
And I give it $7. So thanks, Don. Thanks for coming on, man. Did you have fun?
I did. I did have fun.
Did you?
Thanks a lot, you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you accomplished a feat very few have been able to do. You caused Justin McCumber to not speak for about 10 minutes.
Thank you for that.
It's draft day. I got nothing to say.
Yeah. Oh,
draft day around the McCumber household is when he's not wearing pants.
Well, you know, there's one another thing I'd like to add is that I'm not sure why they put this movie out now. Okay,
I don't either.
The NFL, the draft is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but everybody's out of football mode right now. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. And that's my take too. Is that because we have season tickets to UCLA football? It's college, but to me, there's football season, and then there's everything else.
Exactly.
So right now is not football season.
No.
If this would have came out in August, you start seeing some preseason games. You could have put it out there.
This is brilliant timing.
Oh yeah, because it made like $9 million. It's not brilliant. I
agree with you guys. I think if it would have come out around August, you know, when people are anticipating the return of the regular season, I think that would have been better too. I think for once, Brian, you are way off.
But it was a good idea. I just, unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Well, that's enough of that. Don, thanks for being on, man. We really appreciate it. We got to start going back to the rest of the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Thanks for coming on, man.
And, you know, of course, get ready for next fantasy football league, and maybe I'll kick your ass this time.
Oh, okay.
And look at getting your girl a better gift.
Ouch. Ouch. Okay. Thanks again, Don. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
Have a good one, man.
Okay. Thanks, Don. We appreciate you coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was a good movie. I think you heard because we talked about it for a while. Now let's talk about Oculus. Justin, tell us about Oculus.
Well, Oculus is a horror film that just recently came out, written and directed by Mike Flanagan. It stars Karen Gillian, Barrington Thwaites, Katie Sackhoff, and Rory Cochrane. It's about a woman who tries to exonerate her brother, who was convicted of murder, by proving that the crime was committed by supernatural phenomena. That's the synopsis given to you by IMDb, but I think there's, Aaron, you'll agree with me, there's a lot more going on with the story in this. It's almost a bit of the past and the future melding. It's about this mirror that seems to kill anyone and everyone that owns it. It's a bit of investigation. It's a bit of hordes. It's got a lot going on with it, and it could have proven to be the lesser of all of its parts. But Scott, or why do I keep wanting to say Scott? Aaron,
I don't know.
What were your thoughts on the film, or on its story first?
Well, here's my honest synopsis. The movie takes place, like Justin said, in basically two times. So it's telling the story of the previous owner of the mirror and then the present day owner of the mirror. And then they're kind of intersecting, right? So they're doing like a side door or whatever that movie was, where they do parallel lives. It was an interesting way to do it, and it plays throughout the movie. So it really mind screws with you after a while. You know, after there's portions of the movie where you're trying to remember what time you're in, and the mirror, so to speak, is actually playing mind games with the characters, so they don't know where they are, and things are being shifted around, and their mind is being invaded with random thoughts, and they don't really know what they're doing, and so on and so forth. It's a clever concept. I don't think it works as well as they intend it to, But it's still, it's a very interesting take on horror. I was really interested.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad that somebody's trying to do something different with horror, you know, not sticking to what's already been done, not trying to make some kind of found footage new movie. This is just, it's kind of a traditional horror, but just with some tweaks. And I appreciate those tweaks. Not enough filmmakers out there, especially in the horror genre, which seems to be for a lot of studios kind of a cash grab kind of thing. Just throw a couple million at the screen and then rake in however many they can, and then off they run. They actually put some effort and time into this, and I really do appreciate that. But you know, a lot of what makes it work are the performances. I think the young girl that Karen Gillian plays as the older girl, I think both the young girl and her do a remarkable job of consistency with some of their tones, the way they react. And to me, they're the stars of the movie, but there's others in there as well. What did you think of the acting in this? Did it sell you?
All right. The one thing I will say about the acting in this movie is with all the characters, and there's characters in the present, the characters in the past, there's only one character that even stuck with me, and that was Karen Gillan. I thought she was remarkable. I've never seen her. I don't watch Doctor Who, so I don't know anything about her. I know, Justin, you know who she is. Mm-hmm. But and I will say, yes, I think she's gorgeous. I mean, she's a striking woman. But that isn't why I thought she was great. She has that rare knack of – there's something that actors do, and only a few of them can do it, is where they have character tics. You know what I mean? Little nuances, little ways that they speak, ways that they present themselves, little character tics. And actors that master that, where it's not something that seems like they're acting, it actually seems like part of who they are, she has that down. And that impressed the hell out of me, because that is, it's just one of the rarest things to see a performer do. And the way that she speaks, she has such a confidence, and almost the way she speaks is a character tick. And I just, it really floored me. I mean, every time she's on the screen, I couldn't take my eyes off every word she said. I just could not stop watching her mouth move and go, wow, she just knows how to sell it. Unfortunately, I don't know if her performance made everybody else look worse, or she was just that much better. But everybody else just seemed kind of average. I wasn't really impressed with the rest of them. Not even Katie Sackhoff, who I love.
Yeah, I got to say, I liked Katie Sackhoff. I wish she would have had more in the film. But yeah, I'm so used to her as the Starbuck type, you know, really, really strong, powerful alpha female. And to have her in this role where she's, you know, a bit more, she wasn't a wilting wallflower, but she just didn't have that same strength. And so I liked seeing a different aspect of her. I just wish there would have been more of her in it. But I have to give it to Rory Cochran. He plays the father of the two children in the movie. And I thought he did a really, really good job of being menacing, but without going over the top. You know, I never thought for a second that he was going to chop through a door and go, here's Johnny. It was just reserved enough that for me it was actually kind of scary, because he could go further, but where he was already scary enough. But yeah, Karen Gillan is the star of this one. And, you know, maybe this will convince you to give Doctor Who a try, because she's fantastic in that too. And you get multiple seasons of her goodness. So
I think I might. I don't agree with you on Rory Cochran. I didn't like that whole, the past story. It wasn't as interesting as the current story. I get why they had to do it, and why it merged well with how they were playing that story out. But it just didn't work as strongly for me. That's all.
Now, what about the production quality on this film? You got you got your director, you've got your effects, but really the house, the movie is set almost entirely in a single house, mm-hmm. for the most part. I mean, 95% of it is in one house. So the setting itself at that point kind of has to become a character. What did you think about that with this movie?
Really the mirror, and what they do with the mirror, and how they set up the cameras to try and catch the mirror. And I know it sounds hard to believe, but it actually plays when you see the movie, because I think people hear the plot. Well, you mean it's a scary possessed mirror? All right, that's cool. But it does play out. It does work once you see the movie. And, you know, there are visions, and the lighting and sound plays a big part in how the movie plays out. I think it's well done, but it didn't really do anything that blew me away.
I do have to say I loved the mirrored eye effect on some of these characters. Normally in one of these movies, if a character wants to show being possessed, whatever, they'll either go with a black eye or an all white eye. You know, something to really throw you off. But in this one, they carried the mirror effect onto the character's eyeballs themselves. And I thought that was even spookier than any other kind of eye effect I had seen. So I liked it. Yeah. I liked that quite a bit. Now, overall, you know, $1 out of $10, if someone came up to you and said, how much would you pay to go see it? What would you pay to see this one?
$5.50.
Wow, really?
Oh, that's not bad. That means average. It's an average horror movie. It is not exceptional in my eyes. There wasn't anything that I would go, you got to see this movie now. The ending, unfortunately, as soon as you see a certain thing in the movie, I knew exactly how the movie was going to end. So, yeah, $5.50.
I liked it a bit more than you did. I certainly had a fun time in the theater watching it. I liked the way the past and the present were intersecting, sometimes to the point where you almost thought, are the characters seeing the past or are they influencing the past and vice versa, influencing the future? It played with my head enough that I got to give it a good, I'll give it a good 7.
All right.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And the way that it ended did leave this open up. If they wanted to do more Oculus movies, I would be interested in seeing perhaps the history of this mirror fleshed out more. Or, you know, it's future kills. We'll have to see.
Fair enough. Box office. Captain America is still reigning at number one with $41.2 million. It is got $158 million, and I think it's going to be hitting $200 million by this weekend. So it's huge. And I guess it's already made $500 million total worldwide, which is more than the first movie made in total, like when it closed.
Damn.
Yeah, it's huge. Rio 2 jammed to about $39 million. It's about the same as the first Rio. Oculus killed $12 million, which is, it's, you know,
it's not bad for a horror film.
Especially for a $5 million horror movie. Draft Day, did not get picked up in the first or second or third round.
Fumbled.
Yeah, it fumbled. $9.7 million, it didn't do very well. Noah still drowning, $7.5 million, down another 56%. Might not even crack $100 million. What? Call that one. Now let's go to Justin's upcoming attractions.
So it's not making it rain?
It's not. It's ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Did you guys see that story about that theater that flooded?
Oh, yeah. The theater that flooded and they couldn't play Noah? They
couldn't play Noah because of
the... What's that tell you?
Justin's upcoming attractions. We got three films we're going to be discussing this week, all of them opening up on April 25th. The first one, The Other Woman, directed by Nick Cassavetes, stars Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and Kate Upton. After discovering her boyfriend is married, Carly soon meets the wife he's been cheating on, and when yet another affair is discovered, all three women team up to plot mutual revenge on the three-timing son of a bitch. Now, Aaron, I am assuming that you have been the philanderer. You seem like the philanderer type.
Thanks for ratting me out on the air.
So, how does this movie look to you? Is it, you know, a little scary? What might happen?
No, if I end up with Kate Upton, I think I'm doing good. I'll take whatever penalty is coming my way.
Yeah, I'll take the hit on that.
Exactly. Look, this is a date movie, and it's going to be something that your lady friend or your guy friend, whatever you're into, is probably going to want you to go see with them. I don't want to see it personally. It's not something that's really in my wheelhouse. I don't really get into the Let's Punish Men movies. But if I go, I don't think it's something that would bother me.
Say that. You're a man.
Yeah, exactly. It looks interesting, though. I mean, it looks like it'd be funny, but I don't want to pay for it at a theater. I would watch it at home. I definitely would.
You pretty much summed up mine. I have no desire to see it whatsoever.
But yeah, because this is your future, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you ever get busted doing anything bad, this is what happens. They do evil shit.
Brian, any interest with you?
Speak for the ladies. Speak for the ladies, Brian. Do it.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of agree with you guys.
You're asking four guys if they want to see a movie where the guy gets punished. That just doesn't sound like a good...
No, it's not even about that. I have to tell you, when I just saw
three
the poster,
guys.
I'm thinking that the guy's married and he's got two girlfriends. That's hard. That's hard to do. That should be flipped into
it's like a spy thriller.
You could easily make subtle changes to this movie and make it where he's like a hero.
This is true. And actually, he's got four because he's married.
You turned
three.
A housewife that cheats on her husband, who's out of town making money to keep their lifestyle going, and turned it into a romance where she bangs some photographer that rolls into town for like 3 days.
You're really stuck on Bridges of Madison County, aren't you?
It was fresh in my mind. Sorry.
All right. Well, that ain't the movie people are going to go see. They're going to go see this one. And personally, I think it looks hysterical. If all I knew was the description and the poster, I would probably have zero interest in it. But the trailers that I've seen for it have really been very funny. I think Leslie Mann is another one of those comedic women that
No. I disagree.
She pretty much nails it every time she's on this. For me, she nails it. I think she's hysterical. Cameron Diaz, when she plays it right, she's really good. So after seeing the trailers, I'm sold. I mean, will I put this above the other movies? I don't know yet, but it's definitely a strong contender.
What is your lotion? I think that's just sweat. That part was funny. I laughed at that.
Oh, Kate Upton. Mm. All right, next one. The Quiet Ones. Directed by John Pogue, starring Jared Harris, that some of you might know from Mad Men or Fringe, as well as Aaron Richards and Sam Claflin, a university professor and a team of students conduct an experiment on a young woman, uncovering terrifyingly dark, unexpected forces in the process. Scotty, as a horror aficionado as you are, what do you think of this one?
You said horror?
Horror?
Well, with my accent, you can never tell. Assume I said horror.
That's the first time I've ever been called an aficionado of anything.
That's true. It is the first time.
I wanted to like this trailer, but I don't know. It seems like the more horror movie attempts I see, the fewer interesting ideas I see. This just seems very generic to me.
I actually agree with you. I think it's a trailer that people think they're gonna be ooh, and that's not.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong and it's a hit, but it just looks very generic to me. And that's from a guy that loves to go see horror movies in the theater with a mm-hmm. crowd and that kind of thing. I don't see myself going to the theater to see this one.
Couldn't agree more, Brian. You got any interest?
I'm on board with all of you.
People save your money, go see Oculus, I think, instead. Mm. Last film, Brick Mansions. Now, this one's directed by Camille Delamere. I think I'm not sure, right? And it stars David Bell, the RZA. You know Aaron's going to be showing up.
Fuck!
Gouchy Boy, and may he rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Aww.
And I have to bring it down. An undercover Detroit cop navigates a dangerous neighborhood that's surrounded by a containment wall with the help of an ex-con in order to bring down a crime lord and his plot to devastate the entire city.
This is a movie that instinctively I would back away from. But after watching the trailers a couple times, I'm kind of drawn to it. And honestly, it's got nothing to do with it being one of Paul Walker's last movies. It actually looks very entertaining. Hmm. Granted, it's a just, you know, you walk in, you kind of, you know, you flip the switch, you just turn your brain off and just accept whatever they give you.
I agree with Brian 100%. The story seems all kinds of generic, nothing other than the aspect of it being a city trapped with all these walls, but there looks to be some really interesting choreography, fight scenes, slow motion that I actually want to see. It looks shot beautifully. It's something that I want to see for the visual aspect of it, not necessarily the story.
It's Escape from New Jack City. I said that's what the movie is to me, and it looks generic. The parkour looks cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost so sick of parkour in movies.
Oh, you shut up. Parkour is awesome. If it's done right, it's awesome.
It's old.
But I want to say the RZA is in it, and I just don't like him. He's a horrible, horrible actor. You're not an actor, sir. You are a musician. You should grab a microphone and act like you know what that's for. Stop doing movies. That's all I got to say. But I'll probably end up seeing it because it's Paul Walker's last movie.
And that honestly has nothing to do with it.
No, that's the only reason I'll go to the theater and see it. Really? Just because it was Paul Walker. Did you, I like Paul Walker, though.
Did you notice they had a convenient little shot of him like in a real fancy muscle car driving, across? Yeah. Like that was
clever.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident.
But I like Paul Walker, and not just because he passed away. I would have seen it just because he's in it before. He's just one of those. He's like Keanu Reeves, but with a little bit more acting talent. Not much, but a little.
And more muscle tone.
More muscle tone.
He never could have played Neo. Oh, God. I can't even imagine the Matrix films with him as the star.
I can. Would have made second and third one a lot better.
Ugh. This movie looks so fucking derivative and average. There's nothing about this movie that makes me want to see it at all. Boring from beginning to end, that trailer. Ugh.
Like I said, there's three guys here.
Ugh. All right, folks. We have these three films. Which one are you most likely to go see in theaters? The Other Woman, The Quiet Ones, Brick Mansions. Aaron?
Oh, Brick Mansion. Nah, The Other Woman, because that's the one I'll be dragged to.
Which one do you want to see? Not what your woman's
going to
make you see.
I don't want to see any of them. I don't want to see any of them.
But you will.
The Other Woman. Honestly, my level of interest is very low on all three, but The Other Woman, at least I know I'll have to see it anyway.
Scotty?
Brick Mansions. I think it looks really interesting.
Ugh. Brian?
Gotta agree with Brick Mansions.
Ugh.
You the stop other woman. Ugging other people's decisions? Shut up.
Well, they would be good opinions. That'd be all right. But when I hear shitty ones, I gotta respond. Ugh.
I can't
so
wait.
Two to two, The Other Woman and Brick Mansions.
I can't wait till the upcoming attraction says Jupiter Ascending, and I can go, ugh.
I will shoot you in the face from here.
I'm giving it a zero now.
Just offset that 20.
Yeah. You can listen and subscribe on iTunes, your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed at thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a new episode every Thursday.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggested clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And we'll give you a proper whole shout out the next week. Last week's answer, it was Brian's pick. Boy, did he pick good. We had a lot of selections. And those that got it correct this week were Mac Herring, Craig Schermerhorn, Marcus Shelton, Doug Clayton, John Davenport, Sean McGuire, Sue Stout, Justin McCamey, Pablo Meza, Stephen White, and Scott Calgaro. Congratulations. You all got that right. That thing was huge. I had no idea that Brian did so well.
What's his name?
Brian Williams?
No, what's Scott's last name?
Calgaro. Did I say Scott's name wrong? Darn.
Yes, it's Scott's name.
All right. Well, this week it's my turn.
That's tequila.
That's. If you think you know what it is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here's your clip.
Do you have anything to add, Mr. Cash?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mr. Tango has spoken very eloquently, and I wish I could be as forgiving, but I can't because this whole thing fucking sucks. I mean, this is the biggest problem.
All right, let's go to TV and home video news. Stephen Colbert is going to replace David Letterman. Who's a fan of Colbert? I mean, that's
I think this
huge
is a
news.
Fantastic choice.
So do I. Yeah? I love this idea. I think what a lot of people don't realize, honestly, and I'm surprised that they don't, is that Colbert is a character on The Colbert Report.
I think most people realize that, don't they?
You might be surprised.
You might be surprised. There's
they
some,
really think that's who he is? Is the guy bashing people. Republicans subtly?
No, they think that he actually is Republican. Well, is then, what I'm saying.
If you're listening and you think he's a Republican, you're wrong. I'm just letting you know.
I think it'll be more interesting to see him in an interview format where he's not playing that character. Will he still have the same demeanor? Perhaps, yes. But I think you'll see a little bit more of what he's like. And he actually is a really funny guy. If you see him in interviews,
yeah, I've seen him. Yeah,
that aren't the Colbert Report. He's a cool guy, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, when he used to do those news pieces for The Daily Show, he was always, very smart, very charismatic, seems like a very nice person. And I think what he's been doing on The Colbert Report has been phenomenal. To me, the gravy on all this is just how mad it's made a lot of the conservative pundits out there. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, really? You've got the balls to say someone's terrible for something?
Hmm. Well, don't get on your Republican kick. We don't want to go there.
I won't, but I think it's a great choice, and I look forward to checking him out on David Letterman's slot.
Between him and Fallon, it's like a new era of late-night talk shows.
It? It is, and I will tell you, I've seen both of them in action. Colbert, aside from when he's playing his character, he actually interviews very well. Mm-hmm. Like, he can listen. That's where Fallon is not good. Like, Fallon does great bits and stuff. He's really creative and clever, but he is a horrible interviewer. Mm-hmm. He really is. Because he talks through everybody else's. I hate that. I can't say that. Don't interview somebody and not let them talk. Where Colbert, he interacts with them, and that's a conversation. I would be more interested to see him. Mm-hmm. I would probably watch Fallon's, whatever his bits were, and then switch to the interviews on Colbert's show.
Right.
So I guess we're getting young blood, man. Speaking of blood, Justin saw Into the Blood with...
In the Blood.
Is it In the Blood?
In the Blood.
That sounds worse. Well, how was it? What was it? Tell us about it. Gina Carano, tell us about
it. It was shit. It's an action crime thriller film that was directed by John Stockwell. And the only reason I watched it is because it stars Gina Carano. You know, she's playing... a woman that when her husband goes missing during the Caribbean vacation, she's got to set off on her own and take down the men that she thinks are responsible for it. I wanted to like it, but I couldn't stand it. The only reason I could even continue to let it run on my TV was in the hopes that Gina Carano would beat someone else up or she would change into another tight tank top. She is a beautiful woman who fights very well, but the movie surrounding her is shit. The story is shit. The way that they filmed it almost made me feel like I was watching an 80s action film, but not one of the good ones. One of the poor ones that almost went straight to video. It's just average, bad. Not even average. It's just, it's got Danny Trejo in it, so you think, hey, maybe that's going to save it. No, he's barely in the fucking thing. Luis Guzman's in it. Hey, he might be able to do something. No, he's barely in it, too. She's a star, and unfortunately, she can't act.
Really? Is she that bad?
She's okay. I mean, as far as an athlete turned actor, you could tell she's really trying, and I give her credit for that. But she's really not rising above more than that. It's just an average film. I kind of regretted paying the $6 I paid to rent it. So if I had to give this 1 out of 10, I'm giving it a 4, and that's being so generous.
Oh, wow.
Those are built purely on her. But other than that, it's crap. I mean, if you like action films and you can just switch everything off, maybe you'll like it more because it is set in a Caribbean country. It's pretty. There's some cool fight scenes that go on. But it's just everything else just drags it down. I was disappointed.
Wow. All right, Scott, let's go to TV and home video news.
We've got just two releases this week for April 22nd. The first is Big Bad Wolves. A series of brutal murders put the lives of three men on a collision course. The father of the latest victim, now out for revenge, a vigilante police detective operating outside the boundaries of law, and the main suspect in the killings, a religious studies teacher arrested and released due to a police blunder. Next is The Suspect. Two African-American social scientists pose as bank robbers in an effort to understand the racial dynamics of small-town law enforcement. However, their experiment takes an unplanned, deadly turn. I think it's worth noting that the tagline for this movie is, "Nothing is black and white."
Well, I could have told them that's going to go bad.
Wait, what?
That's the tagline for the movie.
Is it really?
Yes.
Holy crap.
With that, we'll move on to our recast in the classic segment. This is where every other week or so, one of us hoes gives to another hoe a classic film at least 20 years or older and gives them the task of recasting the movie with current actors as if it were being rebooted today. Last time we did this, it was given to Aaron, and he was to recast Lethal Weapon 3, the characters of Riggs, Murtaugh, Leo Getz, and Lorna Cole. Good luck, man.
Okay, well, that's a hard one to do because it's one of my favorite film series of all time. And Lethal Weapon 3, Justin, I still want to say odd choice, but however you want to play it, man. Obviously, I'm going to go Riggs last because Riggs is the crazy Aussie. Now, I wanted to go a different route simply because I don't want the memories of my films tainted. So we're going to go a different way because mostly just to save my own childhood. Lorna Cole is going to be a dude, and it's going to be Zac Efron. I don't know why, but I've seen the guy in a couple movies lately, and I actually think he has some talent. He's not just a one-trick pony like I thought he was.
A man crush.
I'm starting to. I like. He's ripped. I don't know what to tell you. He's ripped. Leo Getz, fast talking motor mouth that was played by Joe Pesci, mm-hmm. if you remember Joe Pesci in Lethal Weapon 3. Melissa McCarthy.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever you want, okay. Leo Getz.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Melissa
Efron in Top Gun.
Melissa McCarthy. That's who I want for Leo Getz.
Yeah, okay.
Ah, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Good call.
Now, Murtaugh, I'm still sticking with the black-white angle. I'm going to play on the race cards a little bit. But they're going to be women. And Murtaugh is going to be a little older, a little more gruff, but kind of a sexy woman. And that's going to be Angela Bassett.
Oh, nice.
I like her. And Riggs, I'm going to stick with Australian. Going to be crazy. Going to be Zoe Bell. Because she can actually kick somebody's ass.
I can see that.
Yep. Hmm. That is my cast. For my Lethal Weapon 3.
Would you call that Lethal Bitches?
No, I wouldn't, but...
You can edit that out. Please
nope.
edit that out.
Nope.
Please edit
that out. Nope. Nope.
That sounded so shitty. Why do I make these jokes?
Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Because everybody thinks Justin, he's with the UCLA.
Yes. Nope. The UCLA?
Whatever.
He's in college?
Fucking retard. UCLA is a fucking college. The ACLU.
ACLU.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so tired.
So oh, my God. That is so an outtake.
That's in the actual podcast. Oh, Lord. All right. And now I'm going to pass it over to Scott. So in 2 weeks, you get to recast the movie, right?
Yep.
It's going to be A Few Good Men, one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, man.
And you're going to recast.
Guess I better go watch it.
Lieutenant Daniel Caffey. Yes, you should. You've never seen A Few Good Men?
No, I have not.
All right. We have a new Scotty Must See movie.
Well, he's going to have to recast it, so he'll have to borrow it and watch it. All right, Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, who's Tom
Lieutenant
Cruise.
Dan.
Different than Lieutenant Dan. Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. I want you to recast Lieutenant Jonathan Kendrick, who's Kiefer Sutherland. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Demi Moore's character. And Lieutenant Sam Weinberg, who's played by Kevin Pollak. Yep.
Okay.
Sexist.
Yep.
I don't know if I can handle it.
One female in the movie gets shafted.
Yep. Wait, did you really just say that?
Oh, bro. All right, God.
Now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Every week we have a topic that's on ours, our listeners' minds. Got a lot of listener feedback on this one, so apparently it's a popular topic. Let me try to make it sound interesting. Please. Kevin Costner has become synonymous with sports movies. For whatever reason, he's just one of those actors that kind of brings an air of legitimacy to that world. So we're going to talk about actors that get typecast, or not even really typecast, but seem to fit into a specific genres more than others. So for you, Justin, how does an actor become instantly relatable in certain genres?
Well, sometimes it's how long they've performed in those genres. I mean, if we're talking movies or TV shows, actors who usually get cast in like a Star Trek show almost always have a hard time getting cast outside of that, because after you've played it for 5-7 years, it's almost now intrinsically woven around you and people have a hard time seeing you outside of it. But for me, it's usually when an actor brings a certain amount of verisimilitude to a role, when they feel feel appropriate, almost perfectly cast. For instance, Clint Eastwood. You put him in a Western, and I have no problem believing for an instant that he is a Western gunslinger, sheriff, whatever that character is. He just, it's like it's almost in his face, in his bones. He's Western, and I can't see him really in almost anything but that. But because he brings so much of himself to it, and it seems so real. If you can't pull off that realness, you're never going to sell me on that genre you're in.
Almost like they're not acting. They're actually portraying themselves on film.
Yeah, when you forget they're an actor, or you forget they're acting. And yeah, exactly.
For me, it's when an actor makes me sit up and take notice about a genre or a topic that I otherwise would have very little interest in. I've talked about it before. I'm not a huge sports guy. I like football a lot, but I don't follow baseball as nearly religiously, hockey, any of those. But yeah, we mentioned Kevin Costner. He makes me go, wow, that makes me kind of interested. I had no interest in draft day. I've never watched a draft. I think that's something that is very boring to me, and he made me like it. And his performance is one of the better things on that. Also, when you see an actor genuinely love the genre that they're doing, I mean, you talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and the Army of Darkness, and I mean, you can tell he loved that. You can tell to this day that he loved that.
He loves bad movies. Yeah. He does.
I mean,
that's what he gets. I don't know which, but it works.
Exactly.
It's really a couple of things. It's the amount a character plays a certain maybe type of role, or at least in a certain genre. Christopher Lee, I mean, really don't see him in any other role other than a form of Dracula.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also how, I guess, how a certain role strikes you the first time you see them. And maybe the movie as a whole strikes you, you know, as then maybe just the specific role. Like, let's just say Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects. Everybody understands Kaiser Soze, and they understand that the big twist at the end, that kind of stuff. But the movie as a whole really kind of, I guess it kind of makes you equate that movie with him.
I would agree. Yeah.
Heath Ledger as the Joker in the Batman movie, that was an epic performance from him. And while Kevin Spacey was very good as Kaiser Soze, or as the Gimp, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Verbal Kent. And that
Verbal Kent. different movie, but that total dish, not so much the one ingredient, but it was the total dish that really, really made you remember Kevin Spacey in that role.
I couldn't agree more, man. It's always really hard because there are so many actors, and I feel sometimes bad for them because they are typecast. Like Jim Carrey, for whatever reason, seems to only have hits if they're comedies. But he's good in different things, right? Yep. I mean, and Kevin Costner, like you said, he's good in a lot of different things, but for whatever reason, in sports movies, he works. I even think he's a twofer because he works in Westerns too. Clint Eastwood's a prime example. Harrison Ford is a guy where if he plays a bad guy, I just don't think it works. But you put him in a movie where he's any kind of hero and it works. You know, it's just, he's just one of those actors. And I'm not going with, he's a movie star. No, he's somebody that exudes heroism. He just seems like the guy that would do the right thing. It's, you know, how he presents himself. Just like Jimmy Stewart had that knack to play, he was every guy. He didn't need a genre. He was just, his character was always every guy. He always seemed like a guy you could hang out with, or you knew, or that, you know, your uncle or something. There's a few actors that don't really fit in genres, like Jackman. I don't think Hugh Jackman fits in any genre. I think he can play anything. But some actors are just, they're just made for certain kinds of roles, and that's all they do. Like Stallone is never going to do anything and excel at it except big action.
He ain't doing Shakespeare.
No, he's not. And you know what? Even if he did great, it just wouldn't fit. You know, he just fits in certain parts, and that's what works for him. Some actors.
Yeah, you know what happened when he tried acting?
Or not to be.
Yo.
Yeah, I mean, Copland is what happened.
Hey, that was a good movie, though, man. That's not a bad movie.
It was all right, but nobody remembers his acting ability. Is all they remember about Stallone is that, yeah, he fatted up about 40 pounds.
That is fair. It, even though it was a good movie, that's usually what people remember. He gained 30 pounds. That's acting. No, that's eating.
No, that's just eating an extra cheeseburger whenever you only needed a few, you know, chicken nuggets.
That's all it took to be a good actor. I'd have an Academy Award by now.
Lifetime achievement.
That's the fuck off. Yeah. Yeah, sadly, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can't deny that.
Well, on the opposite side, when does an actor instantly taint a genre?
Taint. Oh.
Yeah, I said taint.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that...
that is 3 years old? Yeah.
That is 12 years old, exactly. You know, the first person that comes to mind is Michelle Rodriguez. She is always, you know, the tough, edgy chick that has got this dour, just little attitude, and she is the same person every time. So anytime I see her, I just, oh, okay, she's the hard case of this, whatever movie it is. Just, it doesn't matter if it's a drama or action movie, which the majority of her movies is action movies. Don't get me wrong, but it's just, anytime I see her, I see the exact same character, and it just bugs me. Hmm. So anytime I see her in a action movie, including the Fast and Furious movies, my apologies. Sorry, not sorry.
I agree with you, man, because she's the same person in every movie. Every movie.
Every movie. It doesn't matter, you know, the, what's this video game movie? Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
She's the same person in that versus Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, I don't know if Shia LaBeouf has totally killed the archaeologist actioneer film genre, but he may have come close. Yeah. I blame him. That's who I blame for Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I kind of understand that. Him and Richard Chamberlain or Richard Burton, one of those Richards where it did some crappy Indiana Jones ripoff in the 80s.
Oh, that...
that was Richard Chamberlain, Alan Quartermain.
Yeah, Alan Quartermain. Oh, God. That's an ugh movie. You could ugh that all day.
Ugh.
Exactly.
I'm embarrassed to know I knew that so quickly.
Hey, he didn't punch evil or whatever it was.
Hey, look, Richard Chamberlain kicked ass, though, in Shogun. I'm just saying.
What I think of when I think of that is, you know, those movies that you watch where even actors you used to like, but for whatever reason, that's the only thing that you honestly think they can do. So they become a caricature of themselves because they play like Brian nailed it, actually. The same character in every single movie. Steven Seagal is a prime example. He was awesome for four or five movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about movie seven of whatever the three word titles were at that time, you know, Above the Law, Out of Reach, Look Around, you know, I don't know, whatever it was, he just stopped at three words for whatever reason. And he just became a huge caricature. And everything he did was just ridiculous. And you can't take those kind of actors seriously anymore. And at some point when they show up in a movie, what was it? Executive Decision, right? That got all this fanfare because he dies.
Like at 5 minutes into the fucking movie.
Right. And people clapped in the movie.
Really?
That's a sign your career is done. Is when you're in a movie and your character dies and he's supposed to be like the big badass in the movie. And it's supposed to be, oh, big twist. Ha ha. You won't see that coming. And your audience applauds. That's a sign. Time to hang it up. Those are the actors I'm talking. Those are the ones that I think of when I think of that.
For me, it's just when there's an actor that makes a mockery of that genre or whatever topic is being gone over. Nothing turns me off more than when an actor takes something that I care about and then just makes fun of it or isn't really even into it themselves. And I don't really have any good examples, but if it's
Bob Hoskins in the Mario movie?
sure. Something like that would be an example. I mean,
it's a me, a Mario.
It's just more or less when you can tell that an actor doesn't want to be on screen doing that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it just taints the genre because like I used to like this kind of movie and now I don't because you ruined it for me. So,
fair enough. So what actors, guys? What actors for you personally just seem to fit in a specific genre? As in, you see their name and instantly the movie has more interest than it ever would have had without them.
More interest? I don't know about more interest, but the first one that popped in my mind as far as one that I think of this genre, I think of this actor, mm-hmm. is Keira Knightley. Anything period piece movie, especially like in Victorian era or anything where she uses a fancy British accent. I just that's Keira Knightley. Johnny Depp.
Because she is born with that accent.
No, I know that, but I mean, like,
you know, that's not an acting tool that she whips out. It's her birth.
I think he's going with the period piece.
Yeah, it's more about the period. I also had done Johnny Depp. I think any kind of movie with quirkier, exaggerated characters and costumes. I kind of wonder if like what he actually looks like now.
he's an Adonis. That's the bad part is he's better looking than most people that are always on screen in
right.
the regular face.
Right, but every movie that he's in, he's looking like a completely different person. I mean, just
I wonder if he has self-esteem issues. I wonder if we should call him and say, Johnny, you're a good.
You got his number?
Dude. Yeah. I'm sure we can find it. Right, it's on Google.
Hey, Johnny.
Brian.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, anytime you need a badass motherfucker, I mean, who else are you going to get? Really?
Good call. And does he age? Does he age at all? Because
no,
I think he's
not.
Been...
He looks the same in Jurassic Park as he does right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Literally.
It's been 20 years and he looks the same age. It's...
Yeah, they had to put makeup on him in Django Unchained to make him look old.
You know what they say, black don't crack.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I was waiting for the black don't crack. I was seeing who would pull it out first, and you didn't disappoint, sir.
Hey, I always
Excuse
pull it
me
out
while
first.
I whip this out.
Who else do you have, Brian?
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, please,
I mean, what,
God.
Anytime you need a wise old sage-like person, you go to Morgan Freeman. It doesn't matter if he's a president, if he's a... whatever. I mean, a prisoner, you know, the old prisoner, if he's a detective, if he's God, if he's a, you know, boxing corner man, it doesn't matter.
Or a narrator.
Or a narrator, yeah.
Narrator, especially.
That dude can narrate.
And I know this guy is dead, but the king of the parodies, Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's a good one. Nice call.
Because, I mean, he was a serious actor who was a mediocre at best actor until Airplane. After that, his career either took off or crashed, whichever one you want to call it, because he was pretty much pigeonholed after Airplane. But I got way more, but, you know, let's move on.
Justin?
Well, you talked about it a little bit earlier with Kevin Costner. I'm not a sports movie fan, so when I think of him, I don't think of sports movies, even though I do understand why others would. For me, it's his Western roles that have really impressed me the most. I mean, Dances with Wolves, that alone would be enough to cement someone for a genre. He did Open Range, he did Silverado, and one of my personal favorites, Wyatt Earp. I think the guy just, it's like he breathes the old West. No matter what he's in, I just see the riding trail dust in his face. And in fact, I would love to see him and maybe somebody like Timothy Oliphant do a movie together, because both of them look good with guns in their hands. And I think they would be interesting
to
see.
Damn, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe even have him, one being a good guy, and maybe Oliphant's the up-and-coming gunslinger who tries to take him out or something. I don't know, but to me, that's a natural pairing. But anyway, Kevin Costner in Westerns. He's a silly actor, but Jason Statham, he's a fantastic action star. Again, I don't want to see him try and do Romeo and Juliet or anything like that. But, you know, if all he has to do is stand there, look cool, and then throw some punches and kicks, yeah, he's just about the guy you want to hire. And lastly, and this is just kind of a gimme, but Robert De Niro, if I see him, I'm seeing a gangster. Even if he wants to be funny and, you know, meet the parents, to me, he will always be a gangster.
Well, fair enough. I kind of agree with that. And basically all of mine have pretty much been stolen. But Clint Eastwood, Westerns, I seriously cannot watch a Western without wishing Clint Eastwood was in it. I don't know why that is. He just has that, you know, people can have all their favorites. And there's a lot of people that like, what was the, John Wayne. I never liked John Wayne. My grandfather was a huge John Wayne fan, never liked him. Clint Eastwood, for whatever reason, because he was the guy that would just shoot you. He didn't have all that talking and rambling around and trying to do the right thing. He just shot people. And that's what I want in my Western. I just want a guy who says, wait, you're going to kill people if I let you? All right, boom, that's it. You know, you don't have, well, let's talk about it, Pilgrim. I don't want that shit. I want a guy who's just going to draw. Kurt Russell, and I know I'm obsessed with the guy. But when you have any movie, even still, if you need somebody that is somewhat of an action hero but funny, Kurt Russell is always the guy. If you have a movie where the actual plot is off kilter, but you need a guy who can get in there and take charge of the situation in a ridiculous fashion, that's the guy. Any movie in that kind of mold.
We really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Wang?
I love Big Trouble. Just everything the guy did. And even though I know there's a lot of hate for the guy, a lot of people hate him, but I don't care. When there is a man-child movie, and about if there's a movie in a genre like a comedy, and it's about a man-child who has a temper problem, Adam Sandler is the only guy I want playing in that movie. He's just whatever other shitty movies he's done, and there's been a lot. Whenever he's in a movie like that, he's gold to me. He's still gold to me. I just don't think he does enough of them. And his most blended, the movie that's coming out, that looks so bad.
Oh, God.
Joe's Just Go For It 2 is what it looks like with Drew Barrymore instead. I don't know. But those are really my picks. Now, our listeners had some pretty interesting ones. And, you know, I sent these guys, we're going to read some Facebook ones, but I do have a couple tweets real quick. Jared Rice said, Alan Rickman should always be a villain. Good call. Tammy said Cameron Diaz in rom-coms. Kristen Stewart, emo Life is Hard kind of movies. Danny Trejo is Crazy Killer. And just Tom Cruise. Apparently just Tom Cruise. It really doesn't need a genre for him.
He is his own genre.
He is kind of his own genre when you think about it. All right, now let's read from our on Facebook. And every week we do put the topic on our Facebook wall, usually Tuesday night or Wednesday at some point. So you can go there if you ever want to comment. Justin, you start her off.
Linton Bauer says Vin Diesel and Riddick because Riddick should be its own genre of awesomeness. I couldn't disagree with you there, bro.
I can't either.
Scotch Calgaro says Orlando Bloom. Anything where he is swinging a sword. All right.
Fair enough.
Sure. Carl Urban, anything where large numbers of people die. And Sean Bean, anything where he dies. Basically, what Scott is saying is anything that's got Lord of the Rings in the title.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
You know, or directed by Peter Jackson, so to speak.
I'd tell him Sean Bean dies in everything.
Bean is a great dyer.
He is.
He is the best dyer that is alive right now.
Scott.
Carlos Hernandez says Kevin Costner in Westerns, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone in action movies, and Dennis Quaid and Kurt Russell in Aaron's Dreams.
You're damn right.
Sadly, that's not a joke.
Nope. And Tyler Siever says Ashton Kutcher, crappy movies. Fair enough.
Sabrina Elkins says Kristen Stewart, comedy. And then there's more, but I can't click on them.
Sorry. Brian?
Yeah, I just made a mistake of clicking on that. Hang on.
Damn it.
All right. Gene Morton says Tom Hanks in anything.
I like that.
Douglas Clayton says, I got more De Niro mafia movies, Scarlett Johansson, anything with tight outfits.
Here, that should be a genre.
Under the Skin, I want that to be the genre, whatever that turns out to be. Stephen White says,
it's called porn.
Not yet, it's not. Hopefully if her career plummets, then we'll start talking porn. Stephen White, Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in gangster crime movies. Yeah, good call.
There you go. Chris Owens, Jim Carrey, goofy comedies with no story.
Josh Stima says, Eddie Murphy in R-rated comedies. Enough with your family-friendly attempts.
Hear, hear.
Douglas Clayton again. He says, Leonardo DiCaprio, large-budget epics. Uma Thurman, only Quentin Tarantino movies. And lastly, Steve Carell, comedies with heart.
I like that. That's a good call. Steve Carell really excels in those kind of movies. Sean McGuire, Liam Neeson in badass roles where he kicks everyone's ass. It's what he does so smooth.
And David McGrath, Hugh Grant definitely belongs in the romantic comedy genre. I think he looks gnarly out of place in anything else. Glaringly. Why did I say gnarly?
You're right, right? Do you right? I think you're right.
I think he looks glaringly out of place in anything else, even in serious roles. I keep waiting for him to turn all sheepish and bumbling as soon as a pretty girl enters the scene. The same with Will Ferrell. I think I'd have trouble watching him in something other than a comedy. The persona he has created is just so overpowering. No matter what role he does, he's Will Ferrell more than anything else. And to back up, Brian, Michelle Rodriguez's future lies in punching people in the face. Whether she loves them or not.
That's so funny. All right, before we get to emails, we do have Facebook likes. If you like us on facebook.com/The Hollywood Outsider, we'll mention you on next week's show. Brian, what is our most recent Facebook like? Who is that?
Cristobal Alcantara Villorio.
I like it. I really hope he's Italian. Now we got some emails, and then we're done. The emails, there's some really good ones this week. So, Justin, you start her off.
All right, well, the first one is from Justin McCammy. He says, "Hey guys, my name is Justin, a fellow movie buff and ho. My credentials include years working in a video store, not Blockbuster. I miss the fun banter in the store about various movies. Your podcast is similar to those conversations."
Oh, thank you. I hope it was a compliment.
I think it was.
Okay.
"In any case, this is my first email to you. I'm a longtime listener. You guys are a lot of fun and have very insightful information about the movie industry." I don't know about that. "The movie clip of the week Brian selected..." Sorry. "Brian selected was a good movie called Open Range, although I tend to lean more towards Silverado for a fun Western."
Good call.
I love that movie.
That's a good movie. Yeah.
It is good. "The Extra Movie podcast on Captain America 2 was great. I do hope you have more of those. If you ever want or need another Justin..." No, we don't.
Wow.
"Just end with movie info, only good for party..."
Wow.
"For fun party conversation and movie podcasts, just let me know."
There's a little black swan in that comment a little bit.
"Don't be sitting by your phone or your email, bro."
He was going to cut a bitch. That's all I'm saying.
"I will cut a hoe." Literally. "You mentioned people we would like to see on screen again. My submissions include Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans from The Last Boy Scout. Fun team with humor and action." I kind of like that. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I like that movie. He fucked a squirrel.
What?
Last Boy Scout. You never saw Last Boy Scout either, did you?
No.
When did you leave the house, man?
Wow.
Jesus.
Go the ahead. Other is Peter Weller and Jeff Goldblum from Buckaroo Banzai. They have amazing chemistry on and off screen. They even are in a band together and play live often. Told you I have too much movie info in my head. For all the free movie and fun chat. Thanks for all the free, funny, and movie chat. Wish your podcast was 3 hours long." So does Aaron. "Enjoying the popcorn."
Yeah, he does. Thanks.
Very nice email, Justin. I appreciate it.
That's very nice. Very nice.
It was, but back up off me, bro. Next one's from Bree. She says, "Hey, guys, you make my Thursdays. My boss just told me to laugh quieter. I totally love you guys. Y'all should be my brother husbands."
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Is that like a Game of Thrones kind of thing?
No, you know, sister wives.
Oh, I'm
brother husbands.
I'm sticking with Game of Thrones.
We would all be her husbands.
Yeah.
I'm going with Game of Thrones.
All right. Ah, ha, 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 ha. She follows it up with a laugh. Thanks. It ended up being some kind of nerdy video game fight club. Seriously, though, great show. Loved it. X's and O's. Bree.
Oh. Brian?
Give me a call, Bree.
Oh.
Give me a call if it's a Game of Thrones reference. If it's really Sisters Wives, I'll pass. Thanks.
Let's see. Mac says, "Hi guys, I just listened to episode 137 and I have three things real quick. Love the show. Your mystery movie is Open Range, and just a line or two on a comment from Brian. He says, in the podcast, just imagine all the film they wasted trying to get all those beautiful shots, referring to the documentary Planet Earth. I just want to enlighten you guys, or maybe deflate the balloon surrounding that show a little. The people who filmed the show were using solid state rewritable drive HD cameras. So if they were there for 12 hours and nothing happened, they would simply dump the drive or use it for B-roll, then start recording again until something interesting happened. Though they did this for days on end in the snow or wherever. This is how they did it, and it is still a great show." And I actually replied to Mac and explained my point of view on that and stuff. So, we're all good there. And of course, one of my favorite listeners, Sue, writes in and she says, "Open Range, motherfuckers. Brian has flawless taste and I couldn't agree with you more. Loved the special episode on the cap. Very much enjoyed the movie. The scene with Peggy, well, my eyes got a tad watery. These are truly great days to be a film buff. I plan on reading Stillwater, Justin's new novel, soon to be available on Amazon.com. Click through, people." So, thank you for the plug there, Sue. "Instead of seeing Jupiter..." Basically, she says, "I plan on reading Stillwater instead of seeing Jupiter Ascending because it looks like a hot fucking mess, that..." "And that, gentlemen, is how you successfully disagree with Justin." "That is the greatest observation ever made."
Mm-hmm.
I hope you like Stillwater.
So she also does finish up saying, she says, stay feisty, Scott. It looks totes adorbs on you.
Aw. Totes
tons
my
of love,
goats.
Sue.
Thanks, Sue. We've also got one from Marcus Shelton. He says, looking forward to X-Men like a guy looking forward to hanging out with the girl who keeps breaking his heart. I'm a little dubious of GOG.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe I'm a cynic, but is the country ready for a talking raccoon riding a walking tree sporting an automatic weapon? I don't know.
Hell yeah, that is.
I hope so.
We also got one from Scott Calguero. He says, okay, I'm crying foul here. Below, I have cut and pasted your Facebook, quote, topic post for this week's topic. This week's topic, what movies are you most looking forward to this summer and why? Also, what movie are you calling right now as this year's biggest flop, i.e. Lone Ranger? Once more for the visually impaired, calling right now is this year's biggest flop. No mention of summer in that last quote, and I do believe Interstellar is indeed coming out this fucking year, so bite me. Sincerely, Scotch, what's his name?
Hey, Scotch, it said summer before. I just assumed you were smart. I'm sorry. I didn't know I'd have to repeat it and be redundant. You are welcome.
He makes a point.
Not really. No. No. Mm-mm. It says summer. It's right summer, right there before it. No, it doesn't say it in that quote. It said it before. Do I need to reinforce?
I don't know.
Apparently.
All right.
He's going to get you audited.
Stephen White, Justin, I agree 100% with you on Cap 2. It's a 10.
Yeah, well, right.
Good for you. The other two hoes must have seen a different movie. No, we saw the same one. We're just off planet, whatever cloud your cloud atlas that you're on. Aaron, I understand your love of World War II for Cap 1, but you do understand that that setting would not work with where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is heading, right? No, because I'm pretty sure that's the magic of storytelling, is you could tell two parallel stories. You really could.
They just need a mirror.
Good. So, well, I'm saying the past, you could still tell that story while he's having these adventures.
But they didn't, so let's move on.
All right. Good. So stop talking about it. Scott asked me, so shut up. It's beginning to induce an eye roll every time you bring it up. Well, you just made me bring it up again. How's that feel? And stop complaining about Marvel movies killing and bringing back characters. It's a comic book movie. This happens all the time in the comics. I wrote a nice little blurb on the website. Feel free to read it, because they don't do it every goddamn issue. I'm just saying. And Brian, your review of Cap 2 sounded like you hated the movie. I was shocked you gave it an 8.5, as I was expecting a 5 from the way you were bashing the movie.
Yeah, I was just bashing the hell out of it.
And ScarJo is great as the Black Widow. You are completely wrong on that. And if you were concerned about trailers spoiling the movie, do like I did. I watched the first trailer and then avoided all the others just so I did not know anything more. Love you guys on the show. I don't know. From the way you were writing that letter, it sounded like you were bashing us. And then at the end...
I was being bashed. I felt personally attacked.
Oh, we like Steven. And I hate to say that my new favorite hoe is Justin. And we stopped liking Steven right about there. I agree with him more than anyone else. It hurts to admit that. It should really make you cry when you go to bed at night. Keep up the good work, guys, Steven.
Shut up.
Yeah, let's just say that wasn't the only message we got from Steven, and let's just say that I totally owned his ass.
Justin. Next one's from David McGrath. He says, howdy hoes. Great last episode. Glad to see everyone's enjoying Cap 2. Sorry if I ruffled a few feathers when I said I'd seen it a week or two before in Korea. You didn't ruffle any feathers, even though it should have been here first.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
That's That said, I'm looking forward to seeing The Amazing Spider-Man 2 when it opens here in April 23rd.
Fuck you!
Aaron, can I get a 50% discount on the Godzilla roar if I give you a 5-star review on iTunes? That's not Godzilla. Brian, there is a movie version of Battle of the Planets, Gotcha Man, as it's also known. It was released in Japan last year. He linked the trailer. It looks pretty crazy. I watched it. It does look Japanese crazy.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Why don't some of those movies come over here?
Because they don't think we can handle the truth.
I guess.
Oh, God, that I mean, those costumes. I want one of those costumes just to
run around the house.
Gotcha Man.
Brown, right?
Going, Gotcha Man.
You'd have to be that brown bird guy.
Oh, wow.
You can't fit in that white one. I'm sorry.
No, I would fit in the blue and the black one.
You think
Justin,
so?
You'd be the green one.
I would. He goes on to say the costumes and the Phoenix look pretty faithful. Justin, if you're looking to escape the summer heat, don't forget that Snowpiercer will be opening finally on June 27th. And he is correct, and I will try to check that one out. It's worth a look. And besides the icy setting, I'm sure you'll appreciate some more of Chris Evans kicking butt after your glowing review of Cap 2. In honor of the superhero frenzy these days, some friends and I recently did a drunken weekend movie marathon of some Golden Moldies. The lineup, all live action, included Roger Corman's Fantastic Four from 1994.
Holy shit.
Ugh. Doctor Strange from 1978.
That's all right.
The Incredible Hulk Returns, 1988, and featuring Thor.
I like that one, actually.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
I liked it in a cheesy way.
Captain America from 1990. Captain America TV movie, 1979. The Punisher, 1989. I'm assuming that's
Dolph.
The one.
Dolph Lundgren.
Swamp Thing from 82 and some old episodes of the live-action Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, and Batman TV series. Let's just say the alcohol helped a lot in getting through most of these, especially Doctor Strange.
Let me just say, the old Spider-Man series, I loved that show. Nicholas Hammond, I still remember the guy's name. And all he did was climb sidewalls, and they turned the camera on the side, making it look like he's climbing up a building. And I loved it. I believed that dude was climbing up a wall every time. I used to run around. I took the metal thing out of rulers and made little spider shooters. Sorry. Go ahead.
And, yeah, I like Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. She was beautiful, and I thought she played that as seriously as she could. I got nothing bad to say. He says, just wondering, with all the great high-budgeted heroes we get these days, if the hoes have any fond or not-so-fond memories of any of the above. I think we kind of went through those. I must say, I still found the Punisher and Swamp Thing quite entertaining. Keep up the good work, guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing more great summer movies before you do.
What an ass.
Man, rub it in.
I respect you, sir. Bravo.
All right. Doug Clayton writes in. He says, nice article, Brian, albeit a little short. My sarcasm radar was just pinged with that last little bit there. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I agree if a studio knows it has crap, they will keep their exposure to a minimum. However, what about popcorn action movies? More than 90 minutes-ish, and they're trying to be something they're not. Running Man, Predator, The Road Warrior. 1 and 2 are 100 minutes. 10 minutes is 10 minutes, I know. But he says, oh well, tired of writing on his tablet. I'm not going to go into really any deep explanation about this, but there is something odd about once it hits that one hour, 40 minute mark, it gains a little bit more credibility. Unless there is precedent set where 2 hours makes it a better movie.
Well, Scott, there was one more tweet. It's from D.H. Haney, and that was to Brian. Said, I really agree with Brian's review of Cap 2 in regards to Johansson and Cap 2 hype. Glad to hear she's not the only one.
Hey, you know what? The three of us here, the three of us against the world.
That's right. Taking it on. Man on the streets. Stay through the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. I think we're all about ready to pass out at this point. You can go to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Leave us a message or text us at 818-814-6246. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Take a look at the website or go to your podcast provider for 24 Live Another Podcast. That should be up in iTunes by now, if not by now, by this weekend. So it should be up there pretty shortly. And Stitcher as well. So we're moving forward to that. I hope you check it out if you're a 24 fan or if you want to be one. Listen and subscribe on iTunes, listen on your Stitcher Radio app, or through our RSS feed to the regular show. That will do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scott.
Hey.
I'm out of here.
Woo! Are we done?
Yeah, I think we're done. And Justin, your book is called?
Still Water.
All right.
Still Water.
And remember, guys, keep the next time.
Rolling, that's a different song.
Remember the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
And still water.
And still water.
And two bears.
And dip it in popcorn.
Fever dog.
What?
Scotty's getting down wow.
It's just like, I don't know if you guys were finishing or getting started. Is this mic on? Anything? Really? Scott, are you that scared of Aaron right now? Is he in that bad of a mood?
Shut your whore mouth.
Okay. Don't blame me, Scott.
So I'm surprised the quality sounds great.
Wow. Why? Because every week it sounds like shit?
No. I mean,
no,
you would have replaced you with Aaron attempting your accent.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear my version of a Spanish accent?
It would have been.
Yeah, it sounds like Sean Connery as a vampire.
Yeah, I think it was my fault.
Were you microwaving a burrito and standing too close? And I didn't mean burrito in any kind of.
Jesus! Yeah. The racial humor. God damn, Justin. Yeah, and you're the ACLU fucking representative of Texas, right?
Because it's burrito. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah,